It's panic in the White House as the Biden administration runs headfirst into a fiscal and monetary cliff. And in today's show, you'll learn that's bad news for the economy. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today as the Biden administration and the economy face two major problems as we head into 2022. And the first is the fiscal stimulus. Many of those programs are going away. And of course, we see panic setting in as they expire. And the economy looks to be desperate, in need of having more fiscal support. At the same time, the Fed being forced to yank off the monetary brakes and scale their taper program back starting in January. Of course, those two combined spell bad news for the economy. But let's pick this story up as you'll see how much the Oval Office is worried about what's coming. We start out with the Wall Street Journal from a couple days ago saying the student loan repayment moratorium could get another extension from Biden. The moratorium put in place at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic is currently scheduled to expire at the end of January. And here you can see payments on student loans and interest. And I want you to understand why this is a big deal. This accrual had been paused for borrowers with federal student loans since March 13, 2020. To date, the pause has saved 41 million borrowers, tens of billions of dollars, according to the Education Department. Federal loans make up more than 90% of outstanding student debt. So I want you to be thinking as we go through today's show where this fiscal cliff is coming from. And now you have 90% of all student loans are federally based, and that means those payments are on suspension. Well, for the moment, but we'll see what happens. As we keep going here, borrowers with private loans aren't eligible for the pause in payments, although some lenders and services have offered flexibility to borrowers who have asked to suspend payments. And then we see what perhaps is part of the bigger deal here is going to hurt us tremendously, headline CNBC, as parents worry about the end of monthly child tax credit payments. So at the same time, the student loan payments were set to resume, those child tax credits, that those additional bonus that was coming in the middle of January, well, that's off the table as the Build Back Better plan, you know, maybe isn't completely derailed, and we'll get to that in a minute or two, but it's not completely off the table. But if you look at those child tax payments, those extra money could have gone to support student loan payments. Well, without that, well, what do you do? And sure enough, you can probably guess because you saw the news and hear a headline by Bloomberg, Biden extends pause in student loan payments on the Omicron surge. And the move on Wednesday takes a moratorium through May 1st. Biden had initially extended the pause through September after he took office and then stretched the end to January 31st. The president has faced pressure from Democratic lawmakers to provide the extension. And we know, quote, we know the millions of student loan borrowers are still coping with impacts of the pandemic and need some more time before resuming payments, Biden said in a statement. He urged students to take steps to, quote, prepare for payments to resume, including looking at lower payments, exploring loan forgiveness, and getting vaccinated and boosted. And there, I want you to understand that this, what he's telling you is this is the end. This is the last extension that he thinks he's going to get away with. And well, let's continue on with this because that is a fiscal cliff that will then be pushed out to May. In a November survey by the Student Debt Crisis Center, almost 90% of the 33,000 respondents said they weren't financially stable enough to resume payments. And that is a huge number because, you know, the Omicron issue is another problem. And this just isn't a presidential issue. This is an economic issue. And that's really what the focus here of today's show is about, the fiscal and monetary cliffs. And why is Omicron a problem? Well, people get are afraid to go out and spend money, afraid of being in public or going back to work. Well, that's going to be a drag on the economy. And here you see this headline by the Wall Street Journal. Will the U.S. be open in January despite Omicron? Nation wants to keep operating. Companies, schools, governments, and families are trying to apply lessons learned from 2 years of pandemic to make life and business more normal. And in the short term, many big employers have delayed payments to reopen their offices in January. And perhaps that is part of the reason we see the extension of the student loan forbearance. Some universities and schools in the U.S. have switched temporarily to remote instruction. Professional sports leagues have canceled games. Governments in Europe and Asia are imposing travel restrictions. And major events in January, such as the annual gathering of the world leaders and CEOs in Davos, Switzerland, are being put off. And again, all of those have effects on the economy as spending from those events and programs slows. And that is an issue. We need money to be moving around, and that's how economic growth is, or at least one way it's created. And this is what, of course, the Biden administration is concerned about, as are many companies. This from John Hopkins Center for System Science and Engineering. They're concerned that the 7-day case count of Omicron is going to surge into January, and that's going to put the economy on ice as we go into 2022, and not the start we really want. Because then we step into the second issue here, and that's the Build Back Better plan. And as we mentioned kind of in the headline of the show, that this doesn't mean it's completely derailed, although it doesn't look very good right now. But there is going to be an attempt by the Biden administration, by the Democrats, attempt to salvage this, get Manchin on board. But let's pick this up, because here we see more issues of a fiscal cliff. And Schumer to hold a Biden plan vote, even lacking majority support. This from Bloomberg. The U.S. Senate will vote, quote, very early in 2022 on President Joe Biden's economic agenda, despite moderate Democrat Joe Manchin's rejection of the roughly $2 trillion package, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said on Monday. Quote, senators should be aware that the Senate will, in fact, consider the Build Back Better Act very early in the new year. And again, you know, I want you to understand, you know, a lot of this has to do with this fiscal support. Can we get this passed to get those child tax bonus payments back going again? I mean, all of this matters for the economy, and that's what's going on here. There's a battle going on, and very early in the year, so that every member of the body has the opportunity to make their position known on the Senate floor, not just on television. So what Schumer is saying is, hey, you know, we want you to put, you know, your job on the line. We want you to vote. We don't want you to talk. We want you to show your base what you really think and what you're really willing to do. And perhaps they're calling Manchin out. They don't think he'd vote no, but let's continue on with this. The White House and Schumer now must determine whether they can salvage some of the tax and spending bill to address Manchin's demands while maintaining the support for the rest of the factious Democratic caucus. And see, that's where you start to get some of this issue, is that people will start to distance themselves from a losing bill, and that causes less support, and then means the thing is not going to happen. So obviously there has to be some pressure to get this going. And of course, as we see, the Schumer's move is a risky one, because it could harden Manchin's position on the bill if he votes against it. And the move could also create risk for senators up for re-election in 2022 by putting them on record supporting controversial provisions that never become law. And remember, this is what I talked about in previous shows, is what is the goals of a politician? One is to get reelected. Number two is to get reelected. And you want to be very careful of hitching your cart on either a bad bill or an unpopular administration, because sometimes voters decide, hey, you supported that, we're not happy with that, and you're out too. And that is a huge risk. And Schumer, boy, he is rolling the dice on this potentially. Supporters of the measure are eager to enact it in early next year because, aha, here you see it, the child tax credit payments run out mid-January, and that is key to this bill. And the collapse of talks over Biden's economic agenda risks further fueling disenchantment, just as I mentioned, among the Democratic base, with the president, who's already under fire from supporters for not doing enough to expand voting rights and racial equity. And again, this all comes back to one important issue with this bill. It's the popularity of a president. And this is, again, it's not a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue. It's not an independent issue. When you have a president in power who is not that popular, again, people kind of separate from it because they don't want to go down with a sinking ship. And they're not sure what the problem is that's going to cause the ship to sink. They just don't want to be on it, because rule number two is get reelected. And if you sense that you're on the wrong side of the trend, you got to switch sides. And sure enough, this piece from 538 asking how popular is Joe Biden, disapproval rating sitting at 51.6, or only approval rating at 43.5. And that is the risk that, of course, the party faces here with the Build Back Better plan. And, you know, does the economy need it? And that's really the question is, yeah, in some sense, it does need that fiscal support, especially as we get to talk about the Fed here pretty soon. But without all that fiscal support, what is really left of the economy? And so before you panic, if you're worried about panicking, well, there's one thing you shouldn't be panicking about, and that is your portfolio. Be sure to check out Portfolio Shield, because if you're worried about your portfolio, Hell, you shouldn't be. But let's keep going on here, because both Manchin and Biden are wrong about the Build Back Better plan's inflation impact. This headlining from Wall Street Journal, that inflation will depend in the near term largely on COVID-19's economic effects and the longer term on the Fed. And we are going to talk about the Fed, but hey, whoever wrote that in Wall Street Journal, don't really agree with you. But let's keep going on the inflation story, because confronting inflation, Biden administration turns to the oil industry it once shunned, and U.S. producers are chastised about climate change balk at the White House's call for more drilling to rein in gasoline prices. The relationship between the White House and U.S. oil companies has sunk to a new low at a moment when President Biden needs the industry the most. Oil company executives have become openly frustrated with a Biden administration that has spent months shunning the industry, only to start urging in recent weeks to produce more oil to alleviate rising gasoline prices. Here you can see why in the CPI. Look at this, gasoline all types running at 58% year over year. And no wonder, it's a big issue, because what do, you know, voters think about that? And the Biden administration says that oil companies face no government constraints on drilling more in the short run, even as it presses the companies to shift longer term to cleaner forms of energy in response to climate change. But the friction is another setback for administration concern about inflation. Soaring prices, here we go, have become a top concern for voters, according to a recent Wall Street Journal poll, clouding prospects for Democrats in next year's midterm election. So you kind of add to this, you know, panic story. You got to get inflation down. You've got to get fiscal stimulus going. And then what is, of course, the next risk we see coming? Well, that's the Fed. And Fed doubles the taper, signals three 2022 hikes in inflation pivot. This from Bloomberg earlier this month, heralding one of the most hawkish policy pivots in years. The central bank said on Wednesday it will double the pace, which is scaling back purchases of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities to $30 billion a month, putting it on track to conclude the program in early 2022 rather than mid-year's plan. And now we face the fiscal cliff. And here you can see from the Federal Reserve statement regarding Treasury securities and agency mortgage-backed securities operations, that they are directing the Federal Reserve Bank of New York to increase the system open market account, or SOMA, holdings of the Treasury securities by at least $40 billion per month of agency mortgage-backed $40 billion per month, and of agency, and there's an end there, of agency mortgage-backed securities by at least $20 billion per month during the monthly purchase period beginning on January 14, 2022. So what you see, my friends, is the Fed, remember, we started out at $120 billion a month, and now we're slamming on the brakes to $60 billion a month starting mid-January. And of course, when you look at these two combined, the lack of fiscal support and the withdrawal of monetary support by the Fed, you can see the economy is probably not in a good place to handle one of those, let alone both of those. But of course, as we get into the new year, we'll stay on top of that. As always, I appreciate you being a fan, appreciate you supporting the show. And with that, I'm not sure we'll be back on Friday, but if we're not, I want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. And if we're not, then we'll see you back on Sunday for the Chart Show. And who knows, maybe we will be back on Friday for a show. But until the next time, I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or advice to a or not to be construed as a recognition or solicitation by selling security, financial instrument, or participating in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not affect the value of Alice Strand Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.